Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
How's it going? How are you?
So good. Happy to be back.
Me too. It's been we've had a little bit of break in recording.
Yeah, so we have.
I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Last episode, we talked about fasting and repentance, and I would love to kind of just start with like an update on just like how your experience was. You mentioned last episode that you had been fasting. You've been like really digging into it. So I'd love to see like after that conversation, like what are your thoughts now?
Yeah. So as I was studying for the fasting episode, my entire doctrinal framework on fasting changed and shifted, which we love that, because I was in the middle of doing the Daniel fast, which I'd done in the past, and it had been really great for me, and it was kind of a fast of self-denial, which is kind of how we defined last episode of the difference between a biblical fast and a fast of self-denial. And it was helpful, but I've started to do a full biblical fast of sunup to sundown fasting on Wednesdays. So I've done that for the past 3 or 4 Wednesdays.
Wow.
And it's the first time that I've ever tried a real no food, only water. And I drank coffee. I drank black coffee. But technically, that doesn't bring your body out of the fasting state because it's nothing. So, you know, maybe next time I'll do it without that. But it's been so powerful. Mm. I think that the Lord has really blessed it. And honestly, the major difference that I noticed is instead of, obviously, I was hungry all day, so that's number one difference.
Yeah.
But it was prompting me to pray. But instead of eating lunch during my lunch, I went to a little pond nearby my office and just sat there and prayed. Mm-hmm. And each day I kind of had a different focus of prayer. And I was doing it with my boyfriend. So that was also great because we were able to do it together. And we were able to talk about, okay, like, what are you going to fast and pray for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And so one day I fasted and prayed for all the people who I'm praying the Lord will save. Mm-hmm. And then I fasted and prayed for clarity and, you know, different decisions that I needed to make, like specific decisions I needed to make. And I didn't get an audible answer or voice of God, but I definitely got a experiential peace direction about the questions I was asking, and still the people who I prayed for haven't gotten saved yet, but still believing that they will get saved and that the Lord will change their heart. And I think it's just been a different experience because I feel like when I fasted before and just did a self-denial, I got all the benefits of self-denial, but I didn't get the blessing of praying and receiving. Mm. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but I sort of received more when I was fasting fully from sunup to sundown.
I
didn't do it perfectly. Sometimes I broke before sundown, and I was trying really hard not to be hungry or cranky, but I did notice that it got better the more times I did it.
Yeah.
So today I actually broke my fast with Kylie when we ate Chick-fil-A before podcast recording. And today I was prayerful and I was hungry, but it wasn't as on my mind as it was the first day.
Right.
And so I think that's encouraging to know that fasting is a practice, and the more that you practice it, the better you'll get at it, out of it. Not that our goal is to become comfortable with fasting,
right,
but the goal is to notice growth and your self-denial.
And this
isn't as grating as it used to be. And I'm feeling more connected to the Holy Spirit. And I think that's been the main difference in my prayer life is as I'm learning more about the Holy Spirit, I'm learning that I've missed out on a lot. Mm. And so I feel like praying and fasting has been a reintroduction to the Holy Spirit for me because I've felt His presence more and I'm experiencing the Lord more, and that's been really sweet. And so I still have a lot of thoughts and ideas I'm processing through in terms of learning and growing in my experience with the Holy Spirit, but also my relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I'm sure maybe we can do an episode on that later. But it's a lot. I just realized, wow, I'm missing out on a lot, you know?
Yeah. I love that. I love that you're doing it, like, weekly.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, you're practicing it, like
I
you said.
I was so inspired. There's a podcast episode that we can link. Sorry, Kyle, I'm just giving you all the things to link.
Yeah.
But there's a podcast episode, and it's John Mark Comer's wife, Tammy. Mm. I don't remember if I talked about this in the last episode, but this episode on fasting. It was fasting towards holiness. Mm. That's what the episode was called.
Yeah, I think maybe you did mention it.
Yeah. It completely rocked me. But she's someone who has a similar personality to me. Wants to have fun, hates being uncomfortable, only wants to do what she wants to do. And she has a fasting rhythm of twice a week they fast from sunup to sundown, which historically in the church, like we mentioned last episode, that was the common practice for any believer.
Right.
That was sort of, John Tyson has put it as, like, that was a minimum standard of discipleship. And to think about the minimum standard of what it means to be a Christian back then looks way different than what it does nowadays. And I was just so inspired by that because I was thinking, man, if she can do that, if she can be disciplined enough to have a bi-weekly rhythm of denying herself, and it's been so fruitful for her, and it's pushed her towards holiness. Because once you start fasting, you realize all the sin in your life. Because you can't be like, okay, I'm going to fast, but then I'm going to go and do something sinful and not be convicted by it. What's the point of fasting? Right. You know? And so it brings up all the sin in your life that maybe you weren't realized, you didn't realize was sin. And I don't know. It was just really inspiring to me. So I think that's my encouragement to everyone is if you think you can't do it, try it.
Yeah.
And I am praying about right now having it be a daily rhythm in my, not daily, gosh, I'm not going to never eat again. But, you know, a weekly or a monthly rhythm in my life past the season of Lent, because I think that it is something that is good for me.
Yep. That's really good. That's encouraging. Thank you for following up with us, because I think it's good to show, like, the actual, like, we're trying these things, you know,
and also, if anyone knows me, they know that I am probably the least disciplined person that they know. And I have a lot of great ideas and a lot of great intentions. But I was really convicted reading Matthew 21 or 22, I forget, the past couple days. And it was talking about the parable with the farmer where one of the sons said, I don't want to work today, but then eventually he goes out to the field and works.
Yeah.
And then the other son says, I'm going to work today, but then he never does. And Jesus says, like, which one is better? And I was so convicted by that because I'm someone who has really good intentions and really good ideas, but really lacks on follow through. But that, I realized the Lord gave me this revelation, that is lying to the Spirit.
Yeah.
When you make a commitment, when you profess that you're a believer of God and you believe in the Word of God as truth, as a foundation for your life, but also as the explanation for how creation was created, and yet you don't do the things that you know you should, that's lying to the Spirit. And that's breaking a promise to God. And
that's good.
You know, a good intention without action is just a broken promise.
Yeah.
And that is, like, my biggest struggle personally. So if I can do this, all that to say, if I can do this, so can you.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage everyone just to try one day. Give up a lunch. Give up some time in the middle of your day to deny yourself and fill it with time with the Lord.
That's really good. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of that same thing that you just talked about is applies heavily to what we're talking about today. We are talking about
another discipline that we don't actually do, but should.
What we're talking about today is Sabbath, and Olive and I were talking beforehand, like, we don't do this actively.
No.
And, you know, it's hard to, like, it's almost like, should we even talk about it? But our hope is that, like, we want to be convicted and we want to start doing it.
No, we're gonna. We're both gonna hold each other accountable, because now that we're talking about it. We desperately need it. And I think it's one of those things that's really easy. Like, I remember a couple years ago, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer.
Yeah.
So good.
My world.
Yeah, man. That really got us all.
Yeah, it did.
That got us all convicted.
For and like
then,
a week.
Yeah. And then COVID happened and we're like, wow, this is Sabbath.
Yes.
We're baking sourdough.
I wish everything was like this.
We're baking sourdough and we're sleeping in and we're reading books on our porch and we're not allowed to do anything. So I guess we can just not do anything. But then eventually life picked up back again.
Right.
I think there were not a lot of us that actually, we slowed down, but we didn't actually have a rhythm of habitual
keeping
Sabbath.
It like that. Yeah. That's so good. And, you know, Olive and I are busy people. So, like, out of every episode, probably this season, that's like the hardest practice for us. It's this.
Yeah.
Because we can talk all day long about how we really believe in Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, do we do it?
Yeah, but look at my Google calendar. I somehow booked myself every single night.
I know. It's so crazy. And to expose myself, we were supposed to record this episode last week and I got sick. And I was not feeling good. Like, my body was crashing. And I was still going to try to push through. And I call all of them, like, hey, I'm not feeling good. I don't know. Like, I'm, like, really wrestling with it. All of them's like, well, we should probably not record the Sabbath rest episode when you should be resting and you're choosing not to. And I was like, yes, thank you so much for saying that. And what was so incredible was this past weekend, I was sick. And I think it was in large part because I have not been prioritizing rest. And I was forced. I missed out on a church event, on a few things. I was forced to sit here on this couch and really think, like, rest needs to be something that I take seriously.
Yeah.
It needs to be serious. And a lot of this, which we're going to get into, it's not just like a, I don't know, this is biblical. And the reason it's biblical is it's like, and we'll get into it, we were created to function with a rhythm of rest.
Yeah.
And when we ignore that, there are consequences. Crash out.
We're exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
And when we're exhausted all the time, we're especially vulnerable to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and yes. And when we're so exhausted all the time, we don't have any space or energy to actually love God well.
Right.
Or love anyone well, for that matter, when you're so exhausted and on the constant cusp of burnout. And that has been my life for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Since even in college, I was always on the cusp of burnout.
Yeah.
And eventually it needs to not be everyone else's fault or all your commitments' faults. It's your schedule. You're the master of your own calendar. You know, you are the one who has the right to create boundaries around your Sabbath day, and you should, and I should, and we all should. So all this to say, as an opening, Kylie and I are really bad at this one.
Yeah, so we're just getting that out there now.
We don't do this actively, but the more that we've studied about it, honestly, for this episode, I got re-convicted.
Yes.
And I got...
I agree. And honestly, energized in thinking about it, because it's like, oh my gosh, we're about to get into all of it, but I'm just like, there's man, so I much. Just realize my need for it, and not just like, not just in a, like a guilt way, like, dang, I should have been doing this, but also like, okay, moving forward, I'm going to do it. And I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're saying Sabbath a lot.
Yes.
That's a Christian word.
It's so Christian.
What does Sabbath mean when we say Sabbath, like in the just like maybe simplest definition? How would you define it?
I would define it as a day that God created for us and also for himself, because on the seventh day he rested after he created, after he created the whole world in Genesis. It comes from that in Genesis, and it was articulated before the fall. So this wasn't a result of our
before the fall
of our sin. This was actually structured into the fabric of creation.
Right.
So sorry, I'm getting away from the definition.
No, that's okay.
But I would define Sabbath as a day that the Lord has set apart for rest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As he did.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you read it, like in the Bible, you'll see like some parameters around it and things like that. But like, yeah, a day set apart for rest, resting in the Lord, and a day not to work.
Yeah.
And obviously, like in every generation, that looks different. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping to build the case that that's still something that should be done for this generation.
Yeah. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means it can be translated a few different ways. But I think the best, in my opinion, is it literally means to stop.
Right.
To stop.
Which is so interesting.
Which is so interesting. Not even necessarily to rest, but just to stop.
You need to stop.
So, okay, let's talk about, we've defined it. Let's talk about why is it so hard for us to take one day out of our weeks? Okay, well, we can take this two different directions. Do we want to talk about Genesis and talk about where it comes from in the Bible, or do we want to talk about why it's so hard?
Let's maybe finish fleshing it out with some scripture, and then we can, like, come back into, like, where we find ourselves in this day.
Great.
You know what
I
mean?
Let's do it.
So you mentioned Genesis. Mm-hmm. So maybe can you explain a little bit of, like, where we first see this come in?
Yeah. So we see it first come in Genesis 2. I'll go ahead and read the scripture. It's Genesis 2 through 3.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Sunday school, you probably know this scripture or familiar with it. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and he rested from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creating, which he had made.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love what you just said was that it's before the fall.
Yeah.
And that is so good because like, I mean, me and you are just nerds like in general, but like these details, it affects heavily the way you
Totally,
view these things.
totally.
If you were to think like if you were to not know this scripture existed, like this verse in Genesis, or if you were to not see that as Sabbath, and the first time you see Sabbath is like later when it pops up in Exodus, it would be easy to think like because of sin, we need to rest. But what this shows us, this actually teaches us something about humanity in general. This like affects our perspective on how humans were created. So what this shows us, which is really interesting, is that we were created before the fall with limits.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
God still declared humanity good with limits. And those limits include things like, you know, we've talked about God's attributes before, all the ways that we are not like God. We're bound to one place, one time. You know, we have to eat, we have to sleep. These things, God created us to function that way. And Sabbath is a part of that. We were created to be creatures who needed a pause, needed a rest, and not just like, oh, I've reached my breaking point, I need to listen to my body. But it's like, in order to prevent a breaking point, we need a continual rhythm of rest. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I love how you said that it wasn't a result of our sin. So it's not our sin that brought upon this limitation, but it's how God created not just us to function, but the whole fabric of creation.
Everything
to function.
Else. Yeah.
Yes. And so it's sort of like, we'll talk about later in Exodus and Deuteronomy how it's one of the Ten Commandments. So it is a command. And we can argue back and forth on whether this command still applies today, but that doesn't change the fact that whether you choose to follow it and keep the practice or not, it is a rule of creation. Mm-hmm. It is the way the world works.
Right.
So if you decide to ignore the Sabbath, sure, maybe you can without being technically disobedient to the Lord, but you're still going to suffer the consequences of not doing that.
Yep.
It's just sort of like an unwise thing. It's sort of like, you know, the world is going to keep on turning whether you want to go to bed or not, you know, like the next day is still going to come and you can be exhausted if you don't go to sleep at nighttime. Mm. If you decide, I don't want to sleep during nighttime.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that. That's not a command that I have to do.
Mm.
Yeah. But you're still going to suffer the consequences of that. And so I don't know.
No, that's good. Yeah. I think that's true. I think a lot of times you'll hear people like one of their first objections to like that would be like, oh, well, isn't that like an Old Testament law? But there are a lot of Old Testament laws that we would still consider like good ways to live.
Yeah.
And I would put Sabbath in that. Like Olive just said, I'm not necessarily sure that God is like penalizing you.
Yeah.
I can't say yes or no, but I think like Olive just said, we can see that as a reality of life, as a reality of the way that we live, that this is a good thing for us.
Yeah. I love Wayne Muller's quote that I think, Kylie, you found this one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to read it.
Yeah,
really
please
good.
Do.
It says, the Sabbath is not a burdensome. Sorry. Let me try that again. The Sabbath is not a burdensome requirement from some law-giving deity. You ought to, you better, you must. But rather a remembrance of a law that is firmly embedded in the fabric of nature.
Mm.
It is a reminder of how things really are, the rhythmic dance to which we unavoidably belong.
Mm. Yeah.
I love that. So good.
That is so good. Yeah, I love the idea, like, you know, he uses those words, you ought, you'd better, you must. But it's like, okay, this is something that God did, like, after creation, like, just, like, a rhythm that he displayed.
Yeah.
Which is so unique.
Yeah.
We don't, in the Old Testament, we have, like, I want to say few things of God explicitly being, like, watch me do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God before Jesus being, like, watch me do this and do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, shouldn't it be taken seriously?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm literally speaking to myself.
No,
like,
same.
That, I feel like it's so unique.
Yeah.
That in Genesis.
Okay, well, let's talk about if it's outlined so clearly in the fabric of creation, it's something that we know we should do that is good for us. Now that we've established that, why is it so difficult for us to keep Sabbath? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I was initially, like, when I prepared for this, I don't know if this is where I was going to answer it, but we were just talking about Genesis. I think this is, like, the root of sin. It's, like, what you see in the garden.
Mm.
Us trying to be like God in ways that we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's been happening way, like, obviously way before this generation, but you're seeing it so glaringly right now when it comes to things like technology. And don't hear me be like anti-technology. I'm not anti-technology at all. But, you know, you have like technology now. We have this like fake sense of I can be anywhere.
Yeah.
I can, you know, be in any time, like, you know, the way that we can get information, the way we can make calls, so we can do all these things. We have this like fake sense of being like God.
So, omniscient.
Yes.
Yeah. Everywhere all at once.
So then when it comes to like, oh, I'm supposed to slow down and rest, it's like, whoa, no, like I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the
Why would I rest when there's more things for me to do?
Yes. And I'm capable of it. Yeah. Like, who cares if I reach a breaking point? Yeah. Like, I can do it. And this is one of my biggest struggles in life. I have to constantly come back to this. The other day, I was literally meeting with a friend, telling her all these plans I had, like, to get these things done, these, like, ideas. And she's like, Kylie, can you really do all of that? And I straight up said to her, I probably shouldn't, but I can and I will. And literally, the next week, we met again. And I was like, so you were right. I did crash. Like, that was, it's just, we just think that we are invincible. Like, youth think they're invincible. Then you have, like, middle age, it's like, no, I can do everything.
Yeah.
And, like, all of these ideas of just trying to reach for, like, the way that we were not created to be.
Yeah.
Things that are only true about God. And I think, like, that is why we don't want to do Sabbath. Because it's like, you tell me that I have to rest, that makes me feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel like I have to be dependent on something. Then I don't want to be dependent on anything.
Yeah.
When in reality, let's go back to our episode last week, we're dependent on a lot of things that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And this is
that
like
you don't realize a practice. Until you abstain.
Yes. And this is a practice of the one thing we should be dependent in.
Yeah.
So I feel like it does go so well with our episode last time.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, let's purge ourselves of the way that we're dependent on things we shouldn't. And then now, let's depend on the one thing we actually should be dependent in.
Yeah. No, I don't know if we talked about this, but I love what you said about how we want to be limitless like God is.
Yeah.
And God is limitless. He didn't have to rest, but he still did for our good. And so I love what you said about that. I don't know if this is something we've talked about on the podcast before, but the idea of incommunicable and communicable attributes.
Right, yeah. I think we've mentioned it.
I think we mentioned it last season, but I think that this is an idea. Jen Wilkin wrote two books on this, and it's so helpful to frame sin, honestly. Incommunicable attributes are attributes of God that we do not have. So his omniscience, his omnipresence.
And what do those two things mean?
Okay, sorry.
I know. Some, you know, those are big words.
Yeah, yeah. I was an English major, so sometimes I need help like explaining some things.
Okay. Omniscience is all knowing. Omnipotent is all powerful.
Yeah.
And omnipresent is being everywhere.
Is being everywhere. Right. Thank you, Kylie.
Yeah. And you could say, like, if those words trip you up, you could say God is all knowing, all powerful, everywhere. All at once.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And so those are attributes that God is that we can. Now, his communicable attributes are attributes that we're called to be like. So he is kind. He is loving. He is holy. He is all those things, too. And obviously, his holiness is different from the holiness that we can achieve, but we're still called to be holy like Jesus was holy.
Right.
Anyways, so sin is the root of when we try to take on the attributes we were never supposed to take on.
Right.
When we're trying to say that we're limitless when we really are deeply limited. And one thing that is limitless about us is our desires.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some medieval philosopher that said this where he was trying to think of like, okay, without God, separate from God, what is the sort of thing that can fulfill us, fulfill our every desire? And he said, everything.
Literally.
And his idea.
It would have to be everything.
His idea was like, for you to be fully satisfied by the things of this world, you would have to be able to live forever and do every single thing possible.
Be God.
Be God. You would have to live a million years and have go to every country, go to every place, eat every kind of food to be fully satisfied. And that's just impossible. And so we have these limitless desires in us separate from God where we're constantly denying or we're constantly not able to fulfill these infinite desires that we have, even though we're a very finite being. Mm. And so Sabbath is to stop.
Mm.
And so it's also saying stop desiring everything all the time.
Yeah.
Because when we think about like the emotional aspect of stopping, I think in our culture we have lots of I argue spiritual warfare. I would say that these are idols and gods of busyness and of hustle culture and of productivity,
yep,
and of, you know, consumerism. Mm-hmm. All of these different things are sort of the gods of our culture right now.
For sure.
And I think Paul would identify them as the powers and principalities. Mm-hmm. And so not only is Sabbath a rest that is good for us, but it's also a form of resistance. It's a form of spiritual warfare.
I like that.
Because it's, you're saying no to all of these things that are so compelling and so deeply in us and in the air that we breathe of consumerism. I want to constantly consume and shop. And when I see another Abercrombie ad, I want to buy it. Oh, that's a new cute thing that this influencer is wearing. Like, if you looked at my screenshots... It is ridiculous how many screenshots I have of these random beautiful girls in adorable dresses that I want to buy one day, but I don't have the money in my bank account right now.
Yes.
So I'm just going to screenshot it so I can reverse Google image search it later. It's ridiculous because we're constantly fed. We have these powers at play in our culture, things to make our desires even more unsatisfiable.
Right.
And so when you're Sabbathing, you're saying no to consuming, you're saying no to shopping, you're saying no to your phone, hopefully. Mm-hmm. We're now kind of getting into practical ways to practice Sabbath.
Yeah.
But you're saying no to the idea of I need more things. Mm. And so not only are you putting away your work, you're also putting away your desire for more, and you're habituating gratefulness in your soul.
Mm.
Because the idea of Sabbath, it's not just only to stop working,
right,
that is true, but it's also a discipline of delight.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation to delight in the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and to thank the Lord for what you do have and what you do have in your life. And that's a way to get gratitude from your head actually into your body, mm-hmm, and into your, like, your physical habits of habituating gratefulness in a weekly rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also saying no to the idea of the God of busyness. This is so convicting to me.
I like don't want to hear any of this right now.
So in our culture nowadays, think about, what is our social currency? Money, fame, and, worth, influence.
I think this is like a huge identity thing.
For sure.
That's what makes it so hard for me, is it's like, if I'm not efficient, mm-hmm, effective,
mm-hmm,
productive,
booked and busy, baby,
literally what's my point? Like,
yeah,
what am I doing then?
Busyness,
and it's like, is that really what, like, when I'm 85 years old, am I really going to be like, thank God that I was just like slaving over my to-do list every day?
Yeah.
I think that I'll be like content with hard work.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I didn't stop to like rest and like be communing with the Lord, and then even to like enjoying the gifts that he's, mm-hmm, given me, like people and like celebrating and all those things, it's like, what was the point?
Yeah.
What's the point of working so hard if you're not going to take time to like enjoy what the Lord has given you through that hard work?
Yeah. You know? Our social currency is busyness. And what I mean by that is, for me personally, the fact that everyone wants something from me means that I'm valuable.
Oh, so true, man.
Means that the fact that everyone wants me to do something for them means that I have value to offer other people.
Man.
And so, yeah, I'm booked and busy. I'm too busy to, you know, do whatever. You have to schedule me out in advance because I'm booked and busy because people want me.
It's just so classic. If you haven't noticed, every sin is just pride. Like, if you have not noticed... All of them. And it's the worst.
But I really think that there is such an addiction to busyness. It's an addiction.
Yes.
And it's an addiction to consumerism. It's addiction to materialism. It's an addiction to desiring more and always craving more. I don't know what that's called. But these are all addictions. And so practicing Sabbath is refraining from them. Also worry. Mm. If you're constantly someone who is worrying about something...
Yeah.
Sabbath is an opportunity for you to write your worry down on a paper, put it in a box with your phone, and say, Lord, this is something that's out of my control. For these 24 hours, I cannot do anything about this thing, so I'm giving it to you.
That's really good.
So it's taking a break from the worries, the anxieties, the work. I constantly think about work. I constantly think about things that could come up in work. It's taking a break from all of that. So not just stopping work, but like mentally and physically, or mentally and emotionally taking a break from your stresses, your anxiety, putting away. Write down, we're getting into practical Sabbath practices, but you know, something that I heard John Mark Comer do, because again, I don't do any of these things. I need to.
I need all of it. Like when we get to the practical part, I'm like, Yeah. I don't know. Tell
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Well, I only know because John Mark Comer has been practicing Sabbath for the past, 20 years.
Yeah, he's so good.
And he's a man of his word because I have noticed he has not been going to any speaking engagements recently.
Mm. And incredible thing about his story, first of all, plug for his book, like Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, yeah. but he explains it in that book. The reason it's so important to him is because he literally reached a breaking point.
He broke.
He broke. The man broke.
And same. Yes. I'm constantly on the verge of burnout all the time.
Literally.
And that's not the way that the Lord intended us to live.
No. Yeah.
And so he talks about how, which we're going to start talking about Sabbath practically, but one of his practices is he starts his Sabbath with 12 of his closest friends at sundown, having a Shabbat meal together.
Oh, I love it so much. Is that on a Saturday or a Friday?
Yeah. It's on a Saturday. I'm always curious. Friday. I think he may start it on Friday.
It's probably Friday because Saturday is probably his Sabbath.
Yeah. Because he teaches on Sundays sometimes.
Yeah. But so, he's also not a pastor. No, anyways, it doesn't
anyways,
matter.
I'm not really sure. Let's say it's Friday, hypothetically. The day doesn't necessarily matter that much.
If he's listening, he can correct us.
Yeah. We love you.
If you're listening, please correct us.
But he starts with like 12 of his, with his family and like 12 of his friends. They're Sabbath community. They do this every week. They come together. They come over to his house. They cook together. They have a meal together. They put away their phones. They write down their to-do list, their unfinished tasks. They write down their worries and they write down anything that's clouding their mind and they take it with their phone and they put it in a box and they say that is going to be put away for 24 hours. And then they sit around a table and they pray together and they celebrate what the Lord has done in their week.
Oh, gosh.
Enjoy each other. Because I think that's a huge part about God that we miss out on. You know, Tozer has a famous quote that's the most important thing about you is what comes to your mind when you think about God.
Right.
So many of us think about God as being an atonement God, a lawful God, a just God, an angry God, right? That's not who God is. God is deeply, deeply joyful.
Mm-hmm. That's so
He's
good.
The source
That's
of joy.
That's not the word I thought you were going to say, and that got me so good. That's so good.
He is the source of joy. He's a creator of joy. Like, he is joy. He has a Trinitarian community within himself so he can enjoy the other persons of the Trinity. And so that's picture of Sabbath good. That we're supposed to do.
Is yes.
We're supposed to enjoy each other, enjoy our community, not only with the Lord, but like with each other.
Yes.
And like, what a beautiful way to start your Sabbath.
Yes.
And then the next day, sleeping in and then filling your day. John Mark Comer talks about it as like pleasure stacking, which is a psychological term or psychology term where you are literally stacking up everything that gives you joy and enjoying all of it.
Does he like give some examples of what that is for him?
Yeah, drinking coffee, having a glass of wine with dinner. You know, John Tyson, one of his things is he loves cigars, so he'll smoke a cigar in the evening. Reading a fiction novel, looking at nature, looking at art, listening to jazz. John Tyson does that. Like he starts, John Tyson's Theology of Beauty is so good.
That's so
rich. Every morning. Okay, fine. This is like getting away from Sabbath, but I'm just like obsessed.
No.
Every morning he talks about the famous Tim Keller quote, which I'm going to butcher, but it's so compelling. He says, to live in New York City, you have to take in, consume copious amounts of beauty to combat the darkness that you see. And so that's what John Tyson does every morning.
Wait.
He wakes up. I know.
Wait.
I know.
Wait. Why have I, first of all, never heard that? Second of all, why do I feel like that just changed everything?
It does.
That's
it
incredible.
Does. There's so much darkness in the world, and this is the theology of beauty. We have to consume beauty to help us create beauty. To fight the darkness and like the anxiety and the things that you need. So every morning he has it in his calendar where he spends like an hour every morning. This man wakes up at like 4 a.m. Okay. And then he's like prayer walking around Central Park, which I'm obsessed with. Like Hell's Kitchen. He's like prayer. I know. I'm obsessed. but he will take an hour out of his morning to listen to jazz. And to read a novel and to look at art. And he lives in New York, so art's everywhere. But he goes to museums and looks at arts and does the things that are filling up his soul. And that is what Sabbath should be. It's like a day where we think about what are the things that truly and deeply delight me. And here's a crazy thing. Sorry, I just hit the mic. Here's the crazy thing. So many of us are so busy, we actually don't know what delights our soul.
Okay, I'm so glad you just said that, because here has always been, because this goes back to what we were just talking about, here's always been my biggest qualm with Sabbath.
Yeah.
What am I going to do to fill my day? That shows that we are so boring. Yeah. We are so boring as people in this day and age. Like, we think that we, like, know how to live it up and, like, there's so many things available to us. But then we think, oh, like, what would I do? Like, I don't have my phone, all these things. Like, does resting in the Lord just mean I'm, like, sitting on my couch journaling all day?
Yeah.
And it's like, think about how big God is and the complexities of beauty and creativity. And it's like, there are actually endless things you can do with your Sabbath. And it shows a fundamental, like, misbelief we have about God and humanity, that we have such a limited view yes. about what it looks like to rest in the Lord and to, like, enjoy yes. Sabbath.
We are so over busy and exhausted, we don't even know how to enjoy beauty.
We literally can't.
We don't even know how to enjoy the things that are beautiful and that fill up our souls. And so Sabbath is a practice of delight, where this is an invitation for you to discover what are the things that delight your soul. Maybe it's laser tag.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that.
Maybe it's going out with your friends and playing laser tag and being silly and being playful and climbing a tree like a child. Like, maybe it's something completely silly, or maybe it's pickleball, or maybe you think, I don't know what actually delights my soul, so I'm going to try tennis. And then you do tennis and you realize, nope,
I suck.
I hate that. And then you go and you try painting and you try taking long walks and you try, you know, looking, going to a museum and learning something new. Or you try reading a fiction book for the sake of reading a fiction book. Like, it's the journey. Again, Sabbath is a practice. So like fasting, the longer you do it, the better you get at it. And the more you discover about yourself and what truly fills your soul.
Okay, I have a question though, follow up, because I'm thinking, like, maybe this is a question a listener would have, because this is what just popped in my mind. Okay, you're saying, like, maybe these are some examples of, like, enjoying whatever. But isn't the point of Sabbath to, like, rest in God?
Yeah.
So what would you say, like, would you say, okay, you're figuring out these things, what fills your soul? Is the idea then to make sure that you're being mindful in all of this? Like, what would you say is, like, how is it? What's the difference between Sabbath and just, like, I'm putting aside my Saturday to do, like, a bunch of fun things?
Yeah.
Like, what makes the difference?
That's a great question. I think some of the movements of Sabbath that John Mark Comer has articulated, which obviously we'll just link all his stuff because it's really good, is Sabbath as stop, Sabbath as resistance. So resisting all of the temptations to be busy, to be limitless, to be productive, to work all the time. Because again, let's talk about our worth being tied to our productivity. Okay. Y'all grow up with moms where you're laying in bed on a Saturday and they're like, what are you doing? Are you being lazy? That's something that's so deeply
You're wasting your day.
You're wasting your day. You know, like, productivity is tied to that. Anyway, so it's resisting all of those temptations of our culture, which I would argue are spiritual. It has spiritual powers.
Right.
So we're denying that. We're remembering God's goodness and gratefulness, practicing gratitude, and we're worshiping. So we're delighting and we're worshiping. Okay. So I think that
Can you say them all one more time?
Stop. So, stop. Resist. Delight and worship.
And remember.
And remember.
Love it.
So I think that, again, go play laser tag, go do something silly, but also at the same time, do it unto the Lord and do it with gratitude.
Yeah.
And do it as a holy set apart practice. And again, this may look different for everyone. Like, for me, I probably shouldn't pleasure stack, as, like, they call it in psychology, because I'm so addicted to being busy that, like, that will turn into, like, a to-do list for me to, like, check off.
That's
everything,
like, immediately
that
I'm thinking. I'm like, what are all the things you just said?
Yeah, exactly. So I need a Sabbath that's a little bit more slow. If you're an introvert and all you want to do is stay inside all day anyways, you probably need to go out for a walk with your friends. You know what I mean? And do something that is fulfilling, that is delighting, that is worshipful, but maybe is getting you out of your house a little bit
like
more.
So it's like knowing yourself and knowing, like, what it is that you need to rest in the Lord that's, like, different from your normal routine.
Yes. And that's I also think that's not work. That's not the goal of marking something off your to-do list.
Right.
So that means like withholding from doing chores around the house. Yeah. Because I think that's my instinct of like when I'm done with my work, I'm like, all right, well, let me go through the endless laundry that I have to do for now. Sure. Or the project that I've been wanting to get around. If I have a day off, I can finally get to this project that I've been wanting to do. Mm, so it's resisting the urge to do that. Mm-hmm. For me, it's probably going to look like slowing down, having a slow morning.
Yeah.
It's probably going to look like me enjoying time with my friends.
I love that.
My friends that I want to have dinner with that I feel like I never have time to, you know? Mm. So I think that it looks different for everyone. And what we're not trying to do is tell you exactly how you should Sabbath, because I think the problem in the Bible with the Pharisees around...
That's, I was just about to bring that
around
up.
Around Sabbath is that they had too many rules and regulations that were not from God that they put in addition to
It's like what we said about fasting last time.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. It's the same thing.
And you even have Jesus say, like, one of the things that, you know, when we were researching about this, like, you have in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the idea is, like, you were created, like, with a rhythm for rest, and like that's what Sabbath is. Sabbath was created for us. It's not that we were created to like, oh, Sabbath is this thing we need to somehow, like, what are all the parameters, like, we need to figure it out. It's like, that's not the heart behind it, you know?
Yes.
So that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the original intent of Sabbath was rest, not restrictions. Yeah. Like, you don't see, like, all you see is God being like, put aside a day, stop working, rest, and remember. It's not like, hey, put aside a day, do this. You're not allowed to do this, 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 this. It's like anything that Jesus taught. It's the heart and intention behind it. And I think that that's just like, that should be helpful, right? It should be freeing a little bit.
Yes.
Obviously, it's going to be hard. Like Olive said, a lot of our intentions will be like, okay, I need to make it a to-do list. Yeah. But
yeah, so I think it's remembering our limitations and remembering the goodness of God. I'm just going to go through it again to make it really practical.
Yeah, do it.
Try to abstain from things that make you want more. So shopping, social media, LinkedIn,
like, oh,
Pinterest, escapism.
Oh,
if
Pinterest.
Escapism is something that you struggle with, try to abstain from, like, for me, I'm just going to be so for real, okay? Like, rom-coms, you know? Things that I make me want to dream about what my life should be or wants to be, you know, like different forms of media or TV or entertainment that make me long for something that I don't have, you know?
I'm thinking so many thoughts right
now. So many things.
I love that you said that, because earlier you said reading a novel is part of John Tyson's,
both of theirs. They're both nerds.
Okay. Yeah. So like, for them, like, that's like a good thing for them. And then you have people like us who escape with our books. So it's like, okay, well, maybe reading our book that we like have a problem escaping with is not a part of our Sabbath. Maybe it's something else. Like, knowing yourself in this.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, you can't participate in something that brings you joy. Like,
no.
I could read 3 chapters of the fiction book that I'm reading, but say like, okay, there's going to be a limit to this.
Right. And like, yes, it'd be like, oh, I have a whole day.
Yeah.
I'm going to Sabbath by reading this book for 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And for me, I'm just going to be a little bit more aware of my heart posture of asking myself the question, is this making me unhappy with the life I'm currently living?
It's so good. That is so good.
And I think that has to do with social media too. Cause I think for me, again, Instagram, seeing a new cute outfit, I'm like, I need that. Mm-hmm. My closet will be complete when I get the final piece to my capsule wardrobe. Okay. When I get the final piece, I just haven't found the final piece yet, and then it'll be complete and it'll be done, you know? So social media, looking at other people's travels, like planning for future travels.
Yeah, you could say TV, movies, like anything like that.
Yeah, making future plans of things that you want to do that you're not actually doing yet. Like, I'm not saying that it's bad to dream about things. I'm such a dreamer. I'm such a romantic. I'm such a girl who exists in her daydreams. So this is totally talking about what are the things that are making me desire a life that I do not have.
Yeah, it's like a day of being present.
And again, only for 24 hours.
Yeah, just one day. Tomorrow.
Just one day.
Do whatever it is you
I'm going to put this away and practice. And I think that's a piece of gratitude, like being thankful for what God has actually blessed me with in my life today.
That's good.
And so abstaining from those things that make you desire more, that are feeding those unsatisfiable desires.
Right.
And delighting in worshiping God of the Sabbath, feeding our souls with things of beauty.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really good.
This is the Tim Keller quote, since I butchered it earlier.
Oh, perfect.
Because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our soul with beauty.
Mm.
So this is a different quote from the previous quote I said. But it's that same idea.
That's so good.
We need to feed our soul with beauty.
And I love that it's like, what I really love about that is it, he frames it in a way, it's like, because there is darkness.
Yes.
It's not just what we've been talking about of like, so you don't crash. It's like, this is a way for you to be a light in the world.
It's spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. It is
so good. I've been thinking this week about this. Like I said, like this weekend, I've been really confronted with, my church had a women's retreat and I was so torn up that I wasn't there because I was sick. But then I realized, like, I think God was really showing me that, like, what I needed more than being at that retreat is to realize that I need to slow down and be resting in Him. And what is so interesting is while I was being forced to be at home and rest, I ended up getting, like, a call from somebody who was going through something really hard, and I needed to be present for them. And I would not have been if I had just poured out everything at this retreat that I was supposed to serve at. And then now I'm trying this week, okay, as I'm continuing to help this person walk through this hard thing, I need to make sure, how am I every morning waking up and asking the Spirit to fill me up so that I am not drained by helping the people that need me? And I feel like that is part of what the Sabbath is. It's like, okay, you want to be, Olive says frequently, like, following Jesus, like, we want to be people who love like Jesus. Like, that is the point of so much of this. And, like, Sabbath has a part to play in
that. Yes. If your spiritual discipline isn't making you into more of a person of love, then it's pointless.
Right.
And I love what you just said about you being present for your friend, because it's really hard to love God and love other people when our souls are empty, and we are exhausted. And the world profits off of this vulnerability, because when are we more vulnerable to sin when we are so exhausted?
Absolutely.
That is the time that we are most vulnerable to falling into temptation, to falling into sin. This is when the enemy comes and starts to tempt us, when we're the most vulnerable because we have nothing left to give.
Right.
We have nothing left to give to fight the good fight, to do the good work.
That's so good.
And that's not the vision of life that Jesus had for us.
No.
That's the vision of life the enemy has for us.
Yes.
To keep us so exhausted, to keep us on the brink of burnout constantly, to take away the belief and the confidence that we actually have control over our own schedules. Like, he will lie to us and tell us, like, no, well, you have to get this done. You have to do this. You have to do that. You don't have time for 24 hours to take a rest, because you need to be doing something, because otherwise everything is going to fall apart. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
That's
okay?
A lie. Yeah.
That's good. The vision of life that the enemy has for us, not the vision of life that God has for us.
That's really good.
Because God is deeply joyful, and he's deeply communal, and he's deeply an advocate for us to be living our fullest life. And that looks like us accepting our limits.
Yeah. And we've said a lot on here that, you know, God's picture for humanity, which is hopefully what we're pursuing in sanctification, is thriving, not surviving.
Yes.
And what Olive just said is that the enemy wants you to just be surviving. Oh, like, there's always the next thing to do, the next thing to do. And what God is saying is, I actually want more for you. I want you to be thriving. But in order to thrive, it's highly countercultural. Which is what we said at the
because
beginning.
The enemy and the world are both anti-Sabbath. They will both convince you that that is something that you can't do. And that's a good idea in theory, but, like, you can't actually do that.
And I would say, just like a side note, be prepared for even Christians to, like, not be fully on board with this. Like, not necessarily being like, you shouldn't do that, but, like, this is so ingrained in our culture that it's like, other Christians might be like, what do you mean? Like, you're taking a whole day. What do you mean? Like, you can't do that that day. It's like, this is one of those things where it's like, you have to realize the value before you're able to prioritize it. And that's what I'm hoping this podcast is helping you. It's helping me do it.
I think once we realize that this is a discipline of delight, it kind of reframes everything. It's not something that we have to do, but this is something that we get to do. And Sabbath is a discipline of celebration too, when we were talking about practicing gratitude. And celebration is a delivery mechanism for joy. And so Sabbath is a delivery mechanism for the joy of the Lord. If you're someone who feels like you're struggling to experience the fruits of the Spirit, specifically peace and joy, I think those are the two in this day and age are the ones that people don't understand why they don't have the most. And it's a thing that the two fruits of the Spirit that we constantly are trying to get, but maybe don't know how and don't understand why we don't have more peace and joy in our life. Sabbath is part of the delivery mechanism That's for good. Peace and joy.
That's really good.
And so that might just be something to think about.
Yeah.
Sabbath is our invitation to enter in delight with the Lord.
I love that. This has been so helpful.
Yeah.
It for me, at least.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really hoping we were able to paint a compelling picture for,
yeah.
Well, one, that it's biblical and that it was before the fall, and two, that, like, it's still worth considering, mm-hmm. even, like, after Jesus. And then, like, three, that, like, it's something that you should consider prioritizing even in this day and age.
Yeah. And this is something that Kylie and I are going to hold each other accountable to.
Yes, we are.
Because
I'm thrilled. Just kidding.
Well, yeah,
it's going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already talking to my little accountability group about doing a Sabbath dinner.
Yeah.
And just starting with that. So again, if this is overwhelming and you're like, I don't know how to do this for a whole week, start with one dinner a month, mm-hmm. with your community, with your closest people. Say, I'm going to invite you guys over for a Sabbath dinner, and we're going to put our phones in a jar, and we're going to talk about the things that are, mm-hmm. giving us anxiety. We're going to write it down. We're going to put it in a jar. We're going to put it away. And we're just going to enjoy each other for a meal.
Yeah,
and feast good. Together. One quote from Marva Davis that came up while I was doing setting for fasting and for Sabbath is, it says, we don't know how to feast because we don't know how to fast.
That's good.
So Sabbath is also in some ways a fast of all of the things that we talked about before.
Yeah.
And it's a feast of celebration.
Mm, that's really good.
Fill our soul with joy, with beauty, mm-hmm. with copious, copious amounts of beauty. Mm-hmm. Discover the thing that brings your soul deep delight. And mm-hmm. if that's sitting on your back porch with your mom having a coffee, mm-hmm. great. If that's going out and going dancing with your friends or doing something fun, as long as it's not tempting you to sin or tempting right. you to desire more, that's a framework that we're working with. Do it. Mm. And then also worship God.
Yeah.
Sabbath isn't just a day for us to relax and rest and take it easy, but it's a day of holiness, mm-hmm. set apart for the Lord.
Intentional
for the Lord.
That's good.
So start with a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Start with a Friday night meal with your friends. Start yeah. small. Try to get it as a monthly rhythm, mm-hmm. then eventually work it into your weekly rhythm. It's going to be hard. Yeah. You're going to get resistance.
Yes.
And you're going to have to learn how to put boundaries around your time.
Yep.
Your free time is not your availability.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to put boundaries around your time.
Yeah.
I'm saying this to me.
Yeah, we are speaking to ourselves.
Anyone who knows me knows that this is all for yes. me.
It's so hard. Yeah, I hope this was helpful, even if just like an introduction into
yes.
this. Like Olive said, like, you know, just starting something small, starting it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be good.
Yeah.
That's
Anyways,
good.
We love you, and we hope that you get some rest this week.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
That's good.
But yeah, we love you guys. We hope that this at least got you interested in studying yeah. more about Sabbath for yourself.
Yep.
There's a lot of interesting stuff in Exodus and Deuteronomy and the differences between that we don't have time for me to get into. And also, I don't remember exactly what the references are. But the two times that the Ten Commandments are given, the only Ten Commandments that kind of change were the ones around Sabbath. And there's some really interesting reasons why.
Yeah.
So I implore you some to homework. Go explore that. John Mark Comer has really great teaching on this. Mm-hmm. We'll link his resources yep. at the end. I feel like I'm just ripping off practicing away fine. At this like, point, but
he's done more work and time in it, you know.
Oh, for like, sure. He's been practicing it for decades, and yeah. this is an idea that I was introduced to like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I hope to be in a place one day where I've been practicing it for decades.
Right.
Can you imagine the type of person you would be
no.
if you had a weekly rhythm of Sabbath?
No, 10 completely years down different. The line? I'd be completely different, I think.
Yeah, I would too.
That's so good. Yeah, I think this was really good.
I'm excited.
Thanks for joining us,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for joining us.
And we will see you on the next episode.
We'll see you later. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.